city of services in Los Angeles. It's not just about transit. It's about air quality. It's about mobility. It's about a variety of things, including getting from point A to point B. And I get concerned when I hear people say, and I saw in County Council's answer to the NRDC letter, that the point of the fare increase is to get us to 38% return on fare box. Well, frankly, 38% is a arbitrary number. It doesn't, I mean, there's nothing magical about it. The only magical number is 22%, which is where the federal government cuts you off if you're not achieving 22%. But if for my money or from my perspective, if we have to subsidize bus service to 75% in order to keep more people on the buses, to give more people options and more mobility and to grow that system, then we ought to do it. There's nothing wrong with that, because the buses serve a greater purpose in addition to getting folks from point A to point B. We'll never meet air quality goals in Southern California without an adequate bus service. We will never get people to jobs in Southern California without an adequate bus service. And we need to recognize that. The mayor's proposal, which is a 5% per year cost of living increase, doesn't solve the whole problem and doesn't pretend to. It's a down payment on making it work. But it also recognizes some other realities. First of all, we should be doing business differently. The mayor's proposal does not borrow money to fund operations. It does use bond money to pay for buses. We should not be using Prop C 40 money that can be used for operations to buy buses. There's no point in using fungible operation dollars, dollars that can be used to keep bus fares low, to buy buses when you have bond money available for that. Now, a lot of people say you shouldn't incur additional debt. And in a perfect world with unlimited money, we'd all pay cash for everything. I'm not sure many people in this room pay cash for everything, recognizing the reality of today's world. That is exactly what the mayor's proposal recognizes. There is bond money there and should be used to buy buses so we can help keep fares low. In addition to that, we look at a variety of proposals in terms of managing the system better, making other adjustments, and yes, even delaying projects on things that some folks have thought were sacrosanct, like rail. This has got to be a solution where everybody is part of it. Pain is going to be distributed, but it should be distributed across the board. And finally, the one criticism I have, and I do appreciate, as the mayor did, Supervisor Molina going out for and putting together a substantial program, substantial proposal that we can react to, is it doesn't take into account the spillover funds in Sacramento. The last several years, with this mayor's leadership and this board, we've been very successful with the speaker and other friends in Sacramento of getting more transit dollars than we have in the past. If we get our share of transit dollars, the spillover dollars this year, the total of that's $307 million, $229 million of which can be used for transit operations. The deficit this year is $100 million. That is a lot of money to assume we're going to leave on the table or not get any of. Instead, we ought to be making a fight in Sacramento, as the mayor did yesterday, to make sure the legislature and the governor return that fair share here so we can keep bus fares low. And we would invite everyone who is here today to join that effort that the mayor started yesterday and lobby local legislators and return that spillover dollars to us so we can keep bus fares low. And so I guess in summary, we have three proposals, if you will, out there. Two breathing and one just starting the conversation, which, Roger, we do accept and appreciate. And I would say that, at this time, given gas prices, given the moves, given what we're trying to do with this transit system, we ought to make the increase as small as possible so it impacts as little as possible on those least able to afford it. And that's what I believe the mayor's proposal does best.
Good job.
All right. Ms. Burke?
I'd like to ask Mr. Katz a question, and then I would like to make a comment. Bonds, of course, sound very good. What would be the funds that you would tap to pay the payment on the bond?
I would propose we pay the payment on the bonds the way we do with every other bond at MTA, and in this case it would be operating dollars down the road.
Yes, and that's my real concern. These are going to take, I don't know whether we can use Prop A and Prop C. We've used them before, but if we use operating, I'm sorry. I thought it was on too. It's on now. Okay. My concern is that we would have to take money out of operating to pay those bonds. So basically, you're allocating the payments over a period of time. I would like to commend the mayor for going to Sacramento to try to get funds for us, and I am very optimistic, and I certainly would be willing to go there in any way that I can to try to get those. And we don't have them today, though. But hopefully we have them. And what I would propose is that if we get those funds, we would use those to diminish the amount that's for 2009 in terms of those increases that are anticipated during the year of 2009. So that, and because, you know, one of the things with Sacramento is until you get it in your hand, sometimes it's not great to spend it. So I would suggest that we look at that as a mechanism to minimize some of those increases we're talking about in 2009. I also have a real concern. I listened to the testimony today, and I was very moved by many of those people who testified, who were disabled and who had difficulty paying to get on the bus. I think that all of us were moved by that testimony. And I believe that our responsibility is to look to a mechanism to make sure that those people receive the kind of funds that are necessary. We have immediate needs. We've had debates over immediate need funding to provide the tokens, the taxi vouchers. And we have that program, and that program should be funded with a sufficient amount of money so that we wouldn't have to listen to a person who has $700 Social Security and unable to get to the doctor. So we need to address that in immediate needs. And I believe that Bonnie Lowenthal is going to come up with an amendment for us to put in this budget monies that will provide for additional an increase in that program. You know, I've watched the program decrease instead of increase over the years. And I'm a very firm believer. I know that some people say, well, we have city taxi vouchers. Obviously not enough, because we've heard all of these people testifying that they don't get the kind of voucher tokens and taxi vouchers they need in order to meet the very basic needs. So that's one of the things that I really feel we have to address. I'm going to support Gloria Molina's motion, and I'm supporting it because I believe that you have to sometimes face a deficit, and we know where we are. We know what the financial situation is, and I'm hopeful that what we are doing this year will have funds so that we don't have to go to 2009 for those increases. But I have to also look at some of these charts. I understand how bus riders are upset. Bus riders, when they get on the bus, they pay, and they are paying disproportionately to those people who get on the rail, where we're only recovering a small portion of the cost, because disproportionately we were wrong when we moved forward with an honor system on those rail lines, and everybody's not paying. Everybody on the bus pays, but everybody who gets on the rail does not pay. And until you make that and equalize that burden, you're always going to have a real big subsidy on the rail, because you're recovering a very small percentage of the fare. Something like, you know, they talk about a $250 fine. $14 is the amount you actually get on most of those fines. So I think we have to look at a lot of things. And we have to look at a number of methods of making ourselves more efficient. And I certainly am hopeful that we can get money from the federal government. Congresswoman Maxine Waters said that she received indication from the chair of Oberstar Chair of Appropriations, that he would send us a letter saying that they'll try to tap into some of those funds that are reserved only for capital to open them up for operations. These are the kind of things that we're all trying to do, and we'll continue trying to do. But immediately, we, in my district, I know what the alternatives are. If there's a deficit, they're going to cut some of the non-performing lines. And of those non-performing lines, 11 of them are in my district. So I'm not prepared to see those lines cut. And whenever you see people coming up here complaining about some of the lines that are cut and people having to stand for a long time in areas that are not safe, it's usually in the second district. So I don't want to see them cut. But one thing for sure is, if you don't have the money, you have to do something, and you cut out something. And we know where we always look. I've been listening to the last two meetings where we already start cutting them. And I know if you're talking about cutting more, it's going where it's going to hit. So I'm supporting that motion, not because I don't appreciate the strong effort that's been made by the mayor and his sincere attempt to try to have humanity, which we all wish that we could have in the fullest extent. But I also believe that we have to balance any number of issues.
Ms. Lowenthal, then the Granatovich.
Thank you. Actually, I am waiting to see if the mayor is putting forth a motion, because my goal would be to support that motion. I'm here as a representative of the Gateway sector. Gateway sector has a median income lower than the rest of Los Angeles County. And I do believe that all of us agree that the staff proposal was unacceptable. I've been receiving emails from all over the county and from the Gateway area in particular. People really, as you heard today, as we all heard, are not able to accept fare increases. They have to choose between food, rent, and transportation. And as one woman said, it would cause her to go on welfare, so we'd be going backwards. But the recommended proposal by Chair Molina, which I think is a compromise, does need additional support in terms of immediate needs. I'm prepared to make a motion to amend her proposal if the mayor's proposal of a very, very modest 5% increase is not supported by this board.
Mr. Antonovich?
Yes, Chair, first, once again, thank you for the leadership you provided during the hearing process, and also on the motion that you have brought forth, which is a consensus motion and one that I will support. I had a vision that we would have a proposal before us that would perhaps charge premium variable fares and for all rail and fixed guideways while keeping the local bus cash fare the same. But we need to move forward with the new technology that's being developed, and that's not on the table yet, but it will be in a short period of time, where we could see automatic indexing for CPI, fuel costs, security costs, and other external costs that are crucial to the safe operation of our transit system, while recognizing the inflationary factors, ensuring that we would have a system that would create separate bus and separate fares and for the bus, for local bus and high-speed rail and rail, developing off-peak fares, so we would have incentives for people to use our lower ridership transit vehicles during the off-peak hours, which would increase and enhance those riderships, and that would help reduce costs while at the same time moving forward with developing a regional comprehensive transit system. But the promises from Sacramento relative to funding could evaporate in smoke, as you all know, and you've all read the budget forecast from the legislative analysts and from our own CAO's office. A lot of the increase in the spending is using deficit spending, which the state had a very bad experience with a few years ago, that we created a new governor. And if so there's a great deal of reticence that they will adopt such a budget that would increase the deficit and planning on dealing with issues tomorrow instead of today, just as this body here had an opportunity a few years ago to have had modest increases in fares, which would have alleviated a lot of the pain and suffering that we have to take today. And it's because we failed to act in the past that we have to take these decisions today. And the Supervisor Molina has worked very diligently, and her staff need to be commended in attempting to develop a consensus that will keep the district afloat while we can enhance our services and be fair to all. And so once again, I will support the consensus motion that's before us.
Thank you. Mr. Parks.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I also want to thank you for your leadership on this. One of the things I just preface my remarks is that I probably have as high a transit-dependent community as anyone else in this region, and particularly a pretty good-sized percentage of the city's area of dependent bus riders. And having studied this for a while, I've come to the conclusion that, and I'm not sure what is the right number, but that there is an imbalance as it relates to what our fees are, or our fares are, versus what our operating costs. What I was hopeful for, as we look at these issues, that we have to realize, just like any organization or city or entity, the more fluid and the more sources of revenue coming in that we do not have to rely on just one type of revenue, the better we'd be off today and in the future. This deficit is not a one-year deficit, nor will we solve it in 1 year. And so I think that's why when I first saw the staff's proposal, I thought we were taking too far of a leap at one time trying to solve something that had incrementally increased. I don't think we could be a healthy organization and allow the structural deficit to go forward. But what I would was hopeful that as we looked at these proposals and the budget, that we'd be able to call out some of the revenue that we're using for operational expenses because they are labeled operational, but that in reality they are projects that deal with structures and facilities, and in some instances buying millions of dollars worth of buses, that we'd be able to look at how those funds could be called out and actually put into the structure of funding operational, true operational expenses, at the same time that we look not to bond ourselves into danger, but a small percent of our overall capital would be used to bond buses that last 15, 16 years so that we're not spending this amount of money at one time. I think we're an agency that is asset rich but cash flow poor, and we have to take that into account as we're doing business. And although we cannot expect the bus riders who are in the same condition to say that they cannot float alone in order to ride the bus, but I don't think we could make the fares so exorbitant that they could not survive. I think with the current budget coming forward, in my judgment, it appears we might be doing the cart before the horse. We have another month or so with the budget. We need to look at the budget clearly, and just as we did in operations committee recently, moved about four or five capital projects to the side so we wouldn't commit next year's budget to funding something that there is no funds for, that we begin to look at the budget and determine what the budget has to offer before we go forward on setting a fare rate, because there are funds that are in the budget, in my judgment. What percentage that we would be able to set for bonding, what percentage of money that may be coming from Sacramento, although those are promises, we'd have a much better view and a feel for them during the budget process versus doing the fares with before the budget. And I think, unfortunately, the budget, as I understand it, will be coming to us with an expectation that the staff funding is all available. And I don't think that's realistic, nor can we even begin to review a budget with those kinds of statements that we believe that we're going to raise that kind of fund. I think my goal in evaluating this was to find the minimum amount of increase that we could with incremental yearly or several years of review to find a way to incrementally get out of this problem, solving the operational expense, the structural deficit, and also the issue of what our ongoing yearly bonding debt service would be. And so the issue that I'm looking at is that we have a tendency as government, if we impose a fee or a fare, we often do not go back and revert it if we find we don't need it. We always have the ability in the sense of incrementally moving forward. If monies that we depend on aren't coming in, if funds that we expect are not available. But when we look at this operation, there are few ways to raise revenue. We either raise revenue through ads or we raise it through fares. I don't see many other issues that we have that funds are forthcoming unless we start looking at ways we divest ourselves of some of our property. But it appears that we're using the bulk of the property that we have. So to say that there are funds that we can generate as an organization, I don't see where that's coming from other than the fact that what we get is our fair share from Sacramento or from the federal government. And so I would hope that we look at the minimum level of increase that we can with a plan for incremental evaluations as we move forward, but also looking at how we might internally, and I don't believe in the theory you get more with less, because I've been through that so many times, you get often less with less. But the issue is there are some placement of funds that warrant our thorough review before we begin to talk about fare increases to make sure that we are doing the absolute best job for the ridership. And before we, without that review, without understanding how many millions of dollars that may come to us by setting a 4 or 5% debt level or whatever is reasonable, and understanding, yes, you pay a little bit more on a charge card, but again, if you have a cash poor system, you have no other choice. And the fact that they're labeled in the budget as operational doesn't mean they're operational. Those are tags that were placed on those operations as opposed to what the real cost is. Operations, in my judgment, are how you run the bus system, how you pay your employees, how do you provide service, how do you not cut back on service. And I probably have gotten more calls in this arena on, I believe, the 442 line and this issue than anything that I've been on the MTA board. And so I am sensitive to that, and I also am sensitive to people that are trying to go to school, trying to go to work, and find that they don't have the funds. And to make a choice between food and transportation is a hard choice to make. And so I would hope that we take a step back and look at the issue of the budget coming to us in a month and understanding how that is the driving force, and then what are the fares that make the budget work.
Thank you. Supervisor Kanabe?
I think the issue here is that we are trying to...
It's not on.
Speak into Mr. Parks's microphone.
Here.
There it is.
I think, you know, once again, we're at that difficult stage, and where we failed to act in the past on some modest increases in fares, we're at a position and time now where we need to do something. Obviously not as significant as Roger mentioned, but again, to Roger, I mean, he did his job as our CEO to put something on the table to address a very serious issue that we have here. And one of the things, I mean, I got a lot of emails, too, and phone calls from the transit dependent in my particular district. And I think I maybe got one that supported some sort of an increase, everyone not supporting an increase, but also the common thread was do not cut service. Do not cut service. And I think we're at that point as an agency where one of the worst things that we can do in trying to deal with some systemic issues is to cut service. And as we try to put this multifaceted program together, trying to deal with the issue of the bus riders, trying to deal with the issues of rail, to develop this comprehensive health, you know, transit system, I think, you know, one of the worst things we can do. But Councilman Parks mentioned some things about really looking at this or this, and we have that in the past, and I think it's called reserves. And the reserves have been tapped on and on and on again, and so that's why we are faced with this particular situation here today. You touch the reserves once or twice more to any degree, and this agency's in serious problems. And so from a fiduciary standpoint, yet trying to meet the needs of the transit dependent, we have to do something. And I strongly support Supervisor Molina's motion that's on the table. It's fair. It's going to be painful, but there's, you know, the immediate needs funding that we can address as an agency. There's some opportunities there, too. But, you know, I just have a problem. Once again, it's always been pretty easy to say, okay, Roger, tap the reserves. That's basically what we're saying, tap the reserves, because we don't want to deal with fare increases or, you know, the opportunity to provide, so let's just tap reserves. All of us in government are facing some situations or decisions made 20, 25 years ago as it relates to pension funds. And now it's coming home to roost and decisions that we weren't responsible for. So I wouldn't want to put this agency from a debt standpoint in the out years to where none of us will be here, that they're going to have to confront that and then really look at some serious cutbacks. So I thank Supervisor Molina for her motion. I do support it. Great job today on this hearing. These are always difficult because they're very emotional. All of us have been through that as chair, and I think you did a great job and a good motion, and prepared to move on.
Thank you. Mr. Najarian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First off, I would like to thank everyone who took a day off, essentially, to come down today to share their thoughts and their opinions and their issues with us. The young, the old, the students, the teacher, the disabled, the young child who was here, the future of Los Angeles, the grandmother or the mother with 14 children. You are really playing an important role in letting us know how you feel. I would like to apologize for any of the technical glitches that occurred, things like fire marshal capacity of the rooms and some translations that didn't come through, perhaps not enough headsets. But I think, speaking on behalf of the board, that we really were trying to accommodate you all as best as we could, and perhaps we had a little bit of a greater turnout than we were initially expecting. Along those lines, I'd like to thank the chair for running a relatively smooth meeting. I thought Glendale City Council could get rough, but after this meeting, with 300 plus speakers, I'm not going to complain at all about little old Glendale. With regard to Mr. Snowball, I think what he did was follow the board's instruction, and that was to come back with a deficit reduction plan that would solve the deficit within 5 years. To come back with anything less, with any longer term, I think on its face would have been insubordinate to the board. So we don't always agree with Roger, but I think he was doing his job, and that's the task that we gave him. And I don't think any one of us, initially when we gave him that task, were quite aware of the types of increases that solving that deficit in 5 years would cause. So I'm not laying anything on Roger's desk. I would like to applaud Mayor Villaraigosa for the compassion, clearly the compassion and the humanity that he has for all the bus riders and feeling the pain and crafting a motion which produces the very minimal increase to cause the very least pain that it did. My problem is with his motion is I cannot share the optimism that he has for obtaining the additional funding from Sacramento and from our legislature. And although I did confess to his staff member that if anyone on this dais or if anyone in the state can bring home promises and generate capital, it is the mayor with his perhaps unmatched charisma. But I'm just not able to make that leap of faith at this point, and I'm falling back to a more conservative position. And as several of the supervisors said, you never really know what you're going to get from Sacramento until you see the check in the bank. And let's be clear, I'm not here, I don't think any one of us are here to dismantle the bus system. Some of the speakers did say, well, if you raise the rates, this is just a precursor. There were allusions to getting rid of the red cars, calling us Firestone and General Motors. And that is not the case at all. What we're doing here is we're paying the price for a lengthy period of time in which costs, fuel costs, capital costs, labor costs, bus costs, expansion of service just skyrocketed our expenses. And we have to start to catch up. And I cannot and I will not take any actions that are going to result in a decrease of service. And as the Supervisor Kanabe said, that's perhaps the one clear message that I got was that there's no acceptable decrease in service that's going to be tolerated from this board. I am hopeful that the TAP system is going to create more equities in our entire transit system, where those using the system for a longer distance will pay more. Those using it for a shorter will have a smaller fare in relation to that. I'm also supportive. I'm not sure it was an official amendment, but the discussion that Bonnie Lowenthal put forward about increasing the immediate needs, those who are truly faced with no other option will have an opportunity to obtain the relief from these fares. And finally, I would like to applaud, again, the leadership of Chair Molina for coming forth with this motion. The hard work by her and her staff, as well as the other co-sponsors of this and their staff, as well as MTA staff, to crunch all these numbers. And we had many different proposals out there I'm essentially we'll be supporting the chair's motion at this point.
Thank you so much. Mayor Villaraigosa.
Yes, there was some concern mentioned earlier regarding the use of debt financing and loaning for capital purchases. And I just want to remind us, one, that New York City and Chicago have bond-funded bus purchases in the past. In addition to that, this board deficit spended bonded on the following projects: the Red Line Segment 1, the Red Line Segment 2, the Red Line Segment 3, the Blue Line, the Green Line, the Gold Line, both the one to Pasadena and the one to the east side, the Mid-City Exposition Line, the Orange Line. In fact, almost every capital project we've engaged in has had some debt financing associated with it. So the reason why I think some debt financing, and by the way, Mr. Parks, who is the chairman of our budget, I call him Mr. Chairman because he's a fiscal conservative, make no mistake about it. We reduced our deficit in the city from $295 million to about $90 million in 2 years. And I can tell you that the chairman is not someone that just spends without concern, is not someone who spends frivolously. And so when he says that some moderate use of debt financing for bus purchases so that we could use that money for bus operations is appropriate, and I would hope that whatever is supported here, there's some effort to address that. Because again, fares is one source, state spillover money, money from the legislature, language from the feds that would give us more operation monies or higher percentage for the formulas, debt financing. It's a broad toolbox, if you will, that we need to address this budget deficit.
Mr. Albert?
Yes, Madam Chair. First, I'd like to join the others in commending you for the outstanding job that you did in a very difficult public hearing, to say the least. But the reason for my speaking really is there's been much discussion about the mayor's plan, and I'd like to move the mayor's plan, which I believe does help resolve the issues, and also as a substitute motion, and additionally does have the compassion that we've all been looking for. So I would move, and the motion's being handed out now.
Seconded.
Do you care for me to read it?
It's before us. Do we have to read it? It's been moved and seconded. Why don't you proceed to read it?
Yes. One, that I move that the MTA Board of Directors adopt the attached fare policy and principles to guide the development of the MTA's annual budget and long-term financial planning in lieu of the current proposal that's before us. Two, a proven concept that the MTA's projected five-year operating deficit will be solved through a combination of cost reductions, debt financing, and new revenue, which you'll find in the attached motion. Three, adopt a 5% annual increase in all MTA fares effective July 1st of each fiscal year, beginning on July 1st, 2007, for the fiscal year 2008, in lieu of the fare modifications proposed by the current motion that's pending. For purposes of simplifying the fares, the rates may be rounded each year. For implementation, you have those numbers before you. Number four, adopt a 25-cent off-peak cash fare with unlimited free transfers and no zone charges for seniors age 65 or older, disabled, and Medicare customers during all days and hours of service except Monday through Friday, excluding holidays, from the hours of 7 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock in the morning, which is our morning peak, from the hours of 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 7 o'clock in the evening, which is our evening peak, and direct the CEO to report back to the MTA board with recommended debt financing, service restructuring, service frequency adjustments, and other solutions necessary to balance the fiscal year 2007 through 2008 budget, as well as a balanced five-year operating budget that is consistent with the principles adopted by the MTA board. And we have the attachment, which references the budget and financial planning principles and fare policy under this shall be the MTA should seek to maintain a low fare structure to maintain affordability for low-income and transit-dependent customers. The MTA should commit to maintaining a first-class bus system, a first-class rail system, and a first-class highway system. Number three, the MTA should make modest fare adjustments annually to account for rising operational costs, which include labor, fuel, etc., and to minimize the overall impact of fare changes in any given fiscal year. Number four, the MTA should pursue creative efficiencies in service restructuring, including partnering with jurisdictions where MTA operates service to reduce operating costs. And number five, the MTA should continue to expand its fixed guideway system, rail and busway, to increase higher speed options for the transit dependent and provide viable alternatives to driving. The other attachment dealing with operational deficit solutions, cost reductions, restructure downtown bus transit to reduce service duplication, implement bus lanes and transit priority signal systems on city arterials to increase bus speed and reduce number of buses required to provide the same capacity and service frequency, slightly reduce rail service frequency with 1 to 2 minute increase wait times during the weekday peak and 3 to 5 minute increase wait times during the weekday off peak and weekends. And under the capital program debt financing proposition C, 40% discretionary and or transit development account, the TDA portions of planned bus and rail capital expenditures based on the useful life of the asset. For example, 12 years for buses, 25 years for rail cars, and 30 years for other facilities starting in fiscal year 2009. And in terms of new revenue, secure 100% of the state spillover funds for fiscal year 2008 that should flow to L.A. County, with MTA share being $110 million. Next program, $46 million in federal CNG tax credits that expire September 2009 for fiscal year 2008 through fiscal year 2010, and a 5% annual fare increase to cover rising operating costs, labor, and fuel. And I believe there's one error in the handout, and that was the item number 4 on page 1 that you have. I believe it should read from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. as opposed to 7 a.m. That is my motion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Alpert. The mayor would like to speak to the motion.
A second. Before I do,
there was a second. Richard, second. Okay.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Alpert, for agreeing in the best tradition of citizen democracy to come and be a part of what is admittedly a very significant and contentious meeting. I thank you for agreeing to be here and supporting this effort. Directors, and thank you. Thank you for your comments. Again, this is reasonable. People can disagree. But I think what this proposal attempts to do anyways, it addresses the issue of the need to raise fares at a time when fuel costs and labor costs are up, and a time when we've only raised fares once since, I believe, the late 1980s, early 90s, and at a time when our bus fares are among the lowest in the nation. However, what it also does, whether it's the CNG credit, whether it's the issue of the spillover funds, whether it's the issue of the $1.3 billion in state funds that the administration has diverted, whether it's Ms. Waters' effort to convince Chairman Oberstar and the feds for the need to retool and reconfigure the operating subsidies. I mean, when one of the things we used to say back in the early 1990s when we first raised this issue of the subsidy for buses and rail was the both pale in comparison to the subsidy for the single passenger automobile. And, you know, the and addressing the issue of operating subsidies, I think, on a bipartisan basis is a very, very important issue for us to make. In cities, and counties as dense as this one. We can't build any more freeways. And so it is incumbent on us, and I think very significantly, almost required of us, that we begin to demand that the federal government provide a better ratio of operation subsidies for us. In addition to that, the proposal that we made, which Ms. Molina has also incorporated, and I thank you for that, that addresses off-peak hours, in a smarter way, moving people to off-peak hours so they're not there during the rush hour. I think Supervisor Antonovich made an important motion, and while we didn't make it here because there's been a lot of concern about how you implement distance fare-based fares, given the fact that we don't have a smart card, there are a lot of properties around the nation that do it, and they don't have smart cards either. And so that's another way for us to address the burden on passengers. And so I'd like to work with you, Supervisor Antonovich, in that regard. I think what this proposal does, like no other proposal that we have here, it looks at a broad range of opportunities. It utilizes a number of tools in the toolbox to address the budget deficit. And while I certainly respect always that reasonable people can differ, I think this is a more appropriate way for us to proceed. As Chairman Parks, Director Parks, the chairman of the city's budget committee, said, given the fact that you can't, after 3 years, you really can't. I mean, I don't care what economist you talk to. After 3 years, you really can't project into the future just what the economy is going to be, what the financing from the federal or state government is. I would suggest that we adopt this proposal as a prudent one. It moves us forward with respect to raising our bus fares, but it does it in a way that's balanced and not balanced on the backs of bus riders.
Thank you. Mr. Kanabe?
Very good.
All right, the question has been called. There is a substitute motion.
May I speak as the maker of the motion? May I close the discussion?
If you insist, yes.
I request.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for the opportunity. And the reason is, many of you don't know me. We're colleagues for the day. I've had the pleasure of being appointed by both Democrats and Republicans, including a number of you who are sitting here today, to serve on their commissions, both at the city, county, and at the state level as well. And the reason when I was asked if I was interested in this, which I have because I followed public transit for most of the years of my life, the reason I said yes in doing this and supporting the mayor's motion, those of you who know me will know, is because I truly believe in the mayor's motion. I believe in the mayor's motion not because I'm an elected official, because I'm not and I never have been. I believe in the mayor's motion because a long number of years ago, I grew up in the city of Detroit, and I grew up in a poor area in a poor community as a minority in a minority community. And we didn't have transportation. We didn't have doctors. We didn't have supermarkets near us. And my mother used to have to take me through the streets of Detroit about three or four blocks where the riots, from where the riots or civil disturbance, whatever you want to call it, occurred, to jump buses, as we call them, meaning to get to a doctor. I can get in my car now today and take care of my bronchitis, but I could not have done it as a child. I'd have to jump three buses to get to a doctor. We'd have to do the same thing to get to a grocery store or to get to a lawyer if we could even afford to pay a lawyer. And so I have experienced what many of you in the audience are going through. And I understand the difficulty of expending $1 or $2 or $3 or $4 when you don't have it, the difficulty of not having transit service available. I was blessed because I was able to get a good education on my own and to become successful in the practice that I chose to practice. So I was blessed. But I also do understand a little bit about finances because I am a businessman, unlike some who may be here. And that is that I do understand that there are times when you have to borrow dollars to pay for capital items, buses, buildings, capital items. I don't care how you categorize them. in your financial statements. They're capital items. Capital items are amortized over years. If you're able to amortize them, and this is a different situation being government, I understand that, but you do have to borrow. You cannot just expect the deficit, which we're looking at, to be paid in whole or substantial part by the people who can least afford it, because it is a public transportation system. It is not a private transportation system for those who just spoke today, who are the ones that can't afford it. We need to take care of it. And I believe that the proposal that Mayor Villaraigosa has come up with, that I have moved and that I'm not closing on, is a proposal that gives you the opportunity to do what's fair and reasonable by increasing what needs to be increased for only the operational expenditures to get things started, to give us, the mayor, the rest of the board members, an opportunity to get to Sacramento to see if the dollars come in, to see if we can get federal dollars that have now been promised, to see if our speaker is really candid and can get us the funds. And thereafter, if we see that can't happen, then bring another motion to seek more dollars. There's nothing that requires this to be the only motion or the only time that we come before this board to ask for dollars. So I would again request that you consider the mayor's motion and support it.
Very good. What we have before us is Mr. Alpert's motion, which introduces the mayor's proposal that's been seconded by Mr. Katz as a substitute to the motion that I had made previously. Could we have a roll call vote on that?